Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions.
Quit being so religious. Be a workman and a servant and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not religious, but a relationship.
In this week's lesson, which Dr. Williams titles, There's Nobody Like Him, he stresses the importance of a relationship and emphasizes on the fact that we serve an able God.
Ephesians 3:20 declares, Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you. You have power that works in you.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
I want to talk about the day there is nobody like him. Nobody. I went to one of the theaters, 47th and South Park. They used to have a lot of singing there. And I had heard a lot about Little Richard. And Al, I went to hear your Little Richard. He was fast. He could move. Somebody said, why you want to go hear Little Richard? I said, well, I want to see everybody just about to go crazy over him. I want to see, what is he doing? What is he giving? What is he offering? I stayed there about 20 minutes, and I left. I don't pay $15 to see people clown. So I give them my money, so that was enough. Clowning, you can get it free. You can even come to church now in some cases to get some clowning. Amen. So I said from there, I used to quote Little Richard because he had some energy. And I said, in those days, Brother White, if Little Richard got some energy and he's singing the up and down boogie woogie, then I ought to have some energy when every day I have to depend on my strength coming from God. Amen. You don't like to make comments about the past. I don't have no problem making comments about my past. I did some things I wasn't proud of. I drank to quite a bit of old black and white scotch. I drank to quite a bit of Budweiser. I drank to quite a bit of Jack's. I drank to quite a bit of grape wine. I drank to quite a bit of cherry wine. And you all getting thirsty now. Amen. I can see people say, that cherry wine. And then I hear this crowd over here say, that grape wine, it was some good. I wasn't drinking it to get drunk. I just drank it because it was good. It would taste good. And some people tell you, well, that stuff never was, didn't taste good. You're not telling the truth. Depends on who you are or who you were that, during that time. Now, the only reason I said that, especially dealing with young people, to let them know, and young people, I want you to listen to me today because you might hear this and it's not true, it's not biblical. I don't care who says it, it's not true. What I used to do, are you there, Joyce? What I used to do, once I stepped over here and got saved, God covered my sin with his blood. And I'm not part of the used to be club. So young people, if you whatever you used to do and you've been saved and God forgiven you, now it is not recognized. God has wiped it away. And don't let people bring up something that's not part of you. They'll bring up your past. Your past is not part of you. It's something that you can improve for the future. And it just irritates me to hear some people 70 years old, well, you know they're no good. What in the devil you come from? You may have been good, but you have some no good in you. So let's be nice to people. Don't make people think you were Jesus. You have never been Jesus. You never will be Jesus. Be like Paul. Be like Paul. He confessed, but he became better. So when you are trying to grow for the Lord, that's why I like to sing that song. I was singing it yesterday. Look where he brought me from. And somebody said, well, Pastor, you ever get a taste of beer now? Often. You would never say that. I get a taste for some time of good hams. And Dale said, but I don't drink it. The enemy will always bring good things that you like back to you. He'll bring it back to you. Remember when you was playing football and you hid behind the bus? The enemy will bring that back to you. Let's move on. To him who is, my translation is the NIV, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and without and with great joy. 25, Jew, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. That's you. Now this man, this gentleman that wrote this book, I really admire him. Because he dealt with the inner circle of heaven. As we come to the last two verses of Jude's epistle, friends, he seems to make the point of the fact that as God, there's nobody quite like him. I think of a young preacher, I told you this before, who just started preaching. And he would always begin with his sermon like a ball of fire. But before he ended, who would usually tear down everything he had built up and ends up in a mess. Listen. One night he asked a wise older preacher, why the service turned out like it did? The older preacher said, son, if you would start out where you ended up, you would, my friends, you would end up like you started. Nobody can sing well. I listened to the people sing this morning intentionally. Nobody can sing well by starting as high as they can sing. You got to have somewhere to go. Amen. You got to find somewhere to go. And if you start up here, then down here, you'll lose it. Amen. Amen. When I go to fulfill my engagement that I was invited to sing a solo, I want to invite all of y'all to go. It's a congregation of about 7,000. And I've been invited to come because I sung that song about, what is it called? It says in the song, why should I feel discouraged? I got happy and I sung it. And the pastor said, Pat, would you come back? We'd like for you to do that song for the general congregation again. I hear you way up here. Why are you going to do that and you know you can't sing? That is your idea. I don't blame you for having some ideas. But you got to keep in mind, you didn't save me. And God can get in me and you think I came from a foreign country. Quit listening to people telling you what you can't do. Amen. You can do a whole lot of things if you stop listening to people. Amen. Amen. Pastor Weem, you will never go to South America. You know you don't have you can't speak the language. You don't have the money. I said, thank you very much. We went all through South America for 12 days and didn't pay a dime. Quit telling me what God can't do. Amen. Then when I came back, the next year, I wanted to go to Alaska, and I had a ticket to go to Alaska, and don't know who gave it to me, and don't care. Just be thankful. If you learn how to be thankful over small things, you'll be surprised what God will do for other things. I am one of the first Afro-American preachers or pastors in this town that has been invited to be recorded on a coast to coast 4 times a year. It does not bother me. I didn't ask. If I decide to do it, I let him know. He said, I like your attitude. And this is the man who's the manager. He said, I'd like to give you 4 or 5 times a year. You have 29 minutes. You tell me that's not to be thankful for? And he says, I said, well, you have a script. You want me to follow? He said, no, you bring your own. That's freedom. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. God is not discriminating against black folks. You quit saying that he's discriminating because you don't know how to approach him. If you approach God right, he'll set anybody down and bless you. Now, I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. Friends, Jude ends his epistle. He ends his epistle where he began his epistle. He is, my friends, focuses upon the person, the power, the purpose, and the preeminence of an omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God. He's bringing that to us. Now, I want to repeat, the God I serve, he is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. I think of the day that Karl Marx died, March 14, 1883. His housekeeper came to him and said, "Tell me your last words, and I'll write them down." Max replied, "Go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough already." Amen. Listen, that's what people do when someone dies. Well, we've been friends for 30 years. We went to school together. We played ball together. We did dancing together. We did. They don't need that. Why don't you say, "This was my friend and I love them. I want to encourage the family. Thank you." Never go to somebody's house when someone dies and say, "I understand," because you don't. You go to their house and put your arms around them, tell them, "I'm here, I love you, what do you want me to do?" And say a word of prayer and leave. Don't bring all that old stuff you used to do with her or him. They need somebody to tell them, "God will make a way, and I'm here to help you." Amen. Amen. When I was in the hospital, somebody else came to see me, and the person said, "Pastor Williams," he says, "you won't be able to do very much now. It'll take you 3 or 4 months." He says, but it'll come back. Now, why would he tell me that? I know I'm in the hospital and in the bed. He don't need to tell me I won't be able to do very much. And so what I did, I learned this as a youngster. I just kind of turned my head to the side and closed my eyes like I was going to sleep. I wasn't sleepy. I was saying, "If I go to sleep, you'll leave." And Ed said, "Amen." Friends, listen carefully. Listen, Jude has already said enough in this little epistle, but he finished with a bang. He has some immoral last words in the form of a doxology and benediction. That's what Jude has. Listen what he says. "And one last time he seeks to remind us that there is nobody quite like him." Let's observe, my friends, 3 great truths about the God Jude speaks of. A God who is uncontested in his worth. In the first part of verse 24, and you can read it when you go home, Jude speaks of God in a wonderful fashion. That is, he reminds us that our God is a God who is uncontested in his worth, and in fact, notice the authority of his name that is established. There is authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. For there is no other name like Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Notice 24 again. "I call you, your attention to the opening 3 words." And listen what he says in there. "Now," take a look, wait. "Now unto him." The name of God is what is being spoken of here. Unto him. Church, in verse 1, Jude spoke of the entire Godhead. He says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and he's the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and my friends, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, my friend." And once again, in the last verse, Jude speaks of the authority of his name. And he says it is established throughout eternity. They had the man on television. I was watching this religious program, and he says he did everything in the world to condemn religion. Now, many people in church are very religious. They'll come to choir rehearsal and wouldn't even think about coming to Bible study. They are addicted to ushering and think nothing about worshiping. Let me come over here. They are addicted to their seat. This is my seat. But never think about singing, "How I Got Over." That's how you got that seat. Amen. You need to think about who you're worshiping. How you're worshiping him. I tell you this, people like to talk about it, but my daddy told me that in the 30s when he was having children, he said, I had to think what the job he had, it was called in old days PWA, whatever that one meant. He said, I wasn't making enough money. So I had to figure out how to make more money so your mother wouldn't have to worry. That's what he said. He said, so I took odds and ends jobs when I come home from the railroad. You can't get some folks to work one job. And he was doing odds and ends, and then on Saturday he was working all day. Then he had a garden. He didn't buy no vegetable with this spray on it that kills us. He had a garden. He raised everything but dirt. And he would have raised dirt, but it wouldn't grow. He taught us that he said, if you're faithful, God will make a way for you. Every Sunday morning, we had to be in church and couldn't be late. I grew up like that. That's all I know. And he would take, he said, I don't have much money. It was just like, I don't have much money, but I got $8 and write a list. And he'd go to certain places and that he knew. And he said, I need this and I need that. And if they said, well, he said, I'm short of money. They said, put it on the books. Charge it. I never went hungry a day in my life. I never missed dessert growing up. When I first missed dessert at night eating, it was after I got married. And the men ought to say, amen. Amen. I'm trying to lead you into the point that quit being so religious. Be a workman and a servant and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not religious, but a relationship. Amen. Listen, church. I said in verse 1, he spoke of the entire Godhead. He says, Jew, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. And why he bring that up? To them that are sanctified by God, the Father and preserver of Jesus Christ. And friends, he brought the ones that the people knew who had already been following Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me give you another testimony. Gwen and I was coming out of the East Coast, and people were running. I don't understand that. I see it all the time. Running, trying to get on the plane, get a seat. While you run, you got a seat number. And so I didn't run. When I got to the inside of the plane, I was hopping with my knee. The stewardess came down the second step. Ed, get up here a minute. She, beautiful woman, she came down and said, oh, I'll give you a hand. She took the stick and gave it to another one, and she helped me up. Okay. And I couldn't do much because I was looking at her. And you know it's true, because she helped me out. Sit me down. What is it that you want? You want something to drink? You want something to eat? Plenty of them taking off. I said, no, I'm fine. And Ed, that's not all. My daughter's here. She said, I want to give you one of my cellphone numbers. She said, I have two, and just don't give it to nobody. And she says, where do you live? I said, I live in California. She said, well, I don't live that far from here, from you. I have a mansion in Baton Rouge. I said, you have a mansion? She said, yep. She was a big wheel. She kept on talking. And finally she said, you know, you get my attention. I said, I'm going to pray for you. She didn't like that. The only reason I told you that story is that to let you know people will be nice to you when they see something in you. It might not be for what's right, but you got to maintain what's right. Amen. Church, you could win more people to Christ if you change your attitude. You walking and strutting with a hat on that you didn't even buy. You need to learn that God gave you that hat with the time he gave you the money to buy. God is not just some God waiting to take you to heaven. He wants you to display heaven on earth. All right? Listen. And once again, in the last verses, Jude speaks of the authority of his name. And he says, it is established throughout eternity. If you trace history, you could match all of the great names of the world with one or more that is equally as great. If you trace history, history gives you a lot of great men. Listen carefully. I want you to listen. For example, Homer. I'm talking about great people. Homer, the Greeks, was great. Reaching from pole to pole with the wings of his poetic fantasy. But you can match him with Virgil, who wielded a pen that plunged his way as far as Homer's wings could fly. I'm talking about great people now. If you come up with Dante, whose ears heard hell's inferno, drum beats time, my friend, to the ceaseless groans of the lost run. But no, beloved, it's not one step ahead of Milton, whose ears were attuned to the hallelujah chorus of heaven. Amen. Shakespeare, from whose penned words dropped like golden, my friend, polluted from the stems of a shaken lily. Shakespeare has his place equally by Bacon, one of the greatest intellects of the century. Listen carefully. He's giving you some names here, friends. Tennyson, with his crossing the bar, has a high pedestal, but along beside him is Longfellow with his Psalms of Life. Among preachers, hear me today, one think of Wesley, some call him Whitefield, some call him Whitfield, and Jonathan Edwards, Spurgeon, you would have to mention, my friend, C.W. Clarke. If you're talking about great preacher, you'll have to mention Manuel Scott Sr., Edward Victor Hills, R.E.K. Bailey. I'm talking about the tops of the world. And yet they never bragged who they were. They just did their job. They say, E.K. Bailey, you're a good dreamer, good historian, good preacher, and good teacher. He said, but he helped me to get where I am. I owe it all to him. How many times have you said that since you bought a new home? I worked hard to get this house. Let me correct you. You can work as hard as you want to work. But if God decides to pull your strengths, you're not going to buy no house. You'll get a wife and she'll put you in a home. And won't even come to see you. Listen careful. Listen careful. When you mention sitting the poorly, you call it rising or raising in the sun. And his rendition of Walter Younger and his famous line, Willie, not that money man. You have to mention Denzel Washington in Fences and in his portrayal of Troy Maxim. And his, my friend, and he has done, given to us everything he got. Going down the lesson. You talk about the old school, let me throw it on you. Young school make a lot of money singing. But when they get old, they don't have nothing. Mahalia didn't finish college. She left 70-something million in her, my friends, outline to help people. It's not what school you go to. It's who you know that carried you through school. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me name them. Let me go down the line here. You're talking about school. The blind man that sung well, blind. Remember him? Y'all know him. He was blind, died a few years ago. Played a piano. And he shook you all up. They call him Ray Charles. He died with two or three wives he had, but he left some money. This religious won't have you. If you know how to manage, you don't have to go to school. But where did you get it from? From Almighty God. Amen. Whatever you have in your purse, whether it's a pistol, a razor, or a knife, the devil will help you to bring it, and God will help you to use it if somebody bothers you. You got to give up this religious stuff. And religious people sometimes won't even speak to you. They think they're better than you because they're religious. Religion won't do but two things for you when you die if you don't know Jesus. It'll help you to get to hell faster. Religion is not beneficial. Christianity is what we need, and we need it every day. Amen. I can drink a soda and eat a sandwich bread sandwich and bless it and be full. I can eat steaks and chicken, religious, and I'd be miserable.
Right.
You missed it. Let me put it another way. Where's George? George can play and I can hear him. He'll miss a note. Because of my Christianity, I don't hear it. That doesn't mean a thing to me. What means to me is how is he playing the rest of the song. But if I'm religious, I criticize. Don't hear a thing I'm saying.
Right.
Let me put it another way. They could come to my office and say, Pastor, we're going to be short of a musician. Joyce won't be here today. I said, that's fine. I said, go, who's there? Tell them she won't be there. They can cover for her. Now, if you listen, they're praying for themselves, and I said they can cover for her, which means then they got to play. They can't play around, because now they represented him and her. If you're a Christian, you understand what I'm saying.
That's right.
But if you're religious, you're not going to understand that. I don't practice being religious. I practice being a Christian. Amen. The guy from one of the papers, she, I don't want to name him, he said, now I'm going to interview you, but you can't talk so much about God. I said, what? I can't do that interview. How could I be interviewed? Listen to what I'm saying. I got a break to be interviewed. And I can't talk about the man who gave me the break. That guy didn't give me no break. Oh, let me put it another way. Less hurt me. Bad. I'm religious. I'm going to get him. I'm studying ways for weeks how to get him back. But if I'm a Christian, I'm going to pray for him that God will strengthen him, that he won't do it to nobody else. Amen. If you come by my house, I give him something to drink and eat. Not what he did for me yesterday. That's religious. Who is now blessing me? Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. I know a whole lot of religious people from the pulpit to the usher door. They are not a bit more religious, more Christian than a mule plying a horse. You cannot practice talking about a great God and don't demonstrate what he is to you. Amen. Well, Pastor Williams is getting old. And we don't know how long he has. Percy is younger than me. And we don't know how long he has.
That's right. That's right.
Percy can't dictate to my life. If he's a Christian, he can pray for it. If he's religious, he can talk about it. You, one of the biggest gossipers in the country, are religious. Not Christians. Amen. I came to this church 47 years, 46 years, and 10 months ago. Nobody in this church can tell you how much I talked against it. This church needed a lot done. I couldn't do that because where I came from, I was blessed. And he sent me here to show this church how they can be blessed. Some of you all know that. And the reason I wouldn't do that, if God is going to do the blessings, Ed can talk all he wants to, but it won't do him no good. God will look over him and laugh because he wants something accomplished. Ed wasn't talking about no God when I met him. And Ed said, and Ed, don't feel bad because none of them are talking about God when I met him. Some of them not talking about God very much now. Let's move on. So the authority of his name is established throughout time and eternity. Church, you will stop and think who you have. Listen, the ability of the nature is explained. Notice verse 24, in a very interesting manner. Jude not only, friends, once again, establish the authority of his name, but he explained the ability of his name. His ability is summed up in the words, unto him who is able. Unto him who is able. We might be prone to ask today, what is he able to do? I'm glad you asked. My friends, that is a loaded question. But the Bible gives many references to the ability of God of what he is able to do. I tell you, he's able to do the unbelievable, the unsearchable, the unreachable. There's nothing too hard for God to do. All right, listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 states, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good works. Ephesians 3:20 declares, now, we're coming again, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the. That's what I want you to start using. The power that worketh in you. You have power that works in you. Let me give you a demonstration of the power that's in you. The power that's in you will never move unless you move it. You have to realize, not what other folks say, that you have power in you. Now, the power you have in you comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what God did. God, Jesus Christ, which is God, he said to his disciples, I am going away. But they worried about, well, what's going to happen to us? He says, I'm not going to leave you alone or comfortless. I'm going to send you. When I get to my Father and give the report, I'm going to send you another person, which is another comforter. And that comforter is coming in you. He's the one that gives you power. And the reason we don't feel we have no power, we're always trying to change him. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Now listen carefully. I know some of you don't believe this. He speaks to you every day. If you're born again, there's not one day the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you. And he tells you sometimes to shut your mouth and you won't listen to him. I know a lot of young women today's lives is almost destroyed because their mother put the wrong thing in them. Listen to this Holy Spirit. It's no it. It's he. He leads. How many of you in this church was going down to your left, down some street, and inside of you there's something saying, no, go another way. And you refuse to go the other way, and how many of you wish you would have listened? Let me come over here because you're not listening. How many of you all over here married somebody that the Holy Spirit said, he's not the one, but I love him? Don't raise your hand. And you married him and you had to leave him soon. Let me put it another way. How many of you all in here, the last month, there's a lady who lived with a man 32 years. She has two daughters. They're grown. They have children. Friends, he died. He had everything they had gotten together in his name. The law in California gave, my friends, those children got nothing. Are you listening? He had it willed to somebody else. not the woman he lived with. If I live with a man or a woman 37 years and they treat me like that, I would go to the graveyard and tell them, you know you did wrong. Now I got to pay for it. But the issue is, here's the issue, Al. Here's the issue. You cannot sin and hide it and get away with it. Where are you going to hide it? I haven't got that yet. Where are you going to hide your messing up when he knows everything? He knows where you're going. Friends, if you're living with somebody and working every day and bringing your money home and mixing it with that and you don't know where it's going, you're crazy. Amen. You should know where your money is going. Don't let love mess your life up. Love is wishy-washy anyway. You get up this morning, it's very loving. You go home this evening, it's very hateful. That's love. But when you love him, it never changes. Amen. Amen. Church, unto him that is able to keep you from what? And to present you what? Where? Friend, look what we have. Look what we have. Look what we have. Now unto him. I love that. Who is able to keep us from falling. But then when you get to the part, but he's able to present us faultless to the presence of his glory. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Now in closing, you say, but I've done so much bad, so much wrong. I don't think he can save me. He's able. I don't care what you've done and how you did it. If you would just get up out of your seat and come to him today, he'd wash it away. Because he's able. He's able to stand you up on your feet. He's able to remove your shame. He's able to supply your need. And every now and then, he'll show you he's able because he'll throw you something. I repeat, he's able. He's not going to allow Trump to change him. I love Billy Graham very much because years ago I used to say he was the young white man that didn't allow anybody to change his emotions. He got everything he had, and most of the young white preachers wouldn't do that. But he didn't let nobody change his attitude towards a relationship with Jesus. Can you walk away from this church today and say, I know I have a relationship with Jesus? And you can't have a relationship with Jesus and hate your sister and brother. There's no way. No way. And then the last one. I told you this before. I kept a man, Joyce, from going to federal prison. Borrowed $18,000 from my retirement. And he got mad when he wouldn't pay and I asked for it. I let it alone. I didn't ask no more because it was my fault, not his. Pine, young man, had everything going for him. 2 years ago, he had to resign his job. all of what he made. Now he can't work. Yes, he's able. I might be hopping. I might be limping. But I still can go. All because he's able. He's able. Thank God that he's able. So if you're here today, it's not what you've done or who you are. It's where you want to go. And I would want to come to him as my personal Savior. Think about it for a second. Would you go in there this hour? Hey, I'll go in this aisle down here. That's fine. Now, we have some help in the aisles. If you're not strong enough to walk because spirit is moving on you, don't be ashamed. Get up and they will assist you. Where's Sonia? Sonia, will you sing for us? I don't know the song, but in it it says, it could have been me. No clothes. Could have been me. No food. It could have been me. Outdoors. It could have been me. Nowhere to live. It could have been me. But
tragedies are commonplace. All kinds
of diseases,
as people are slipping away. The economy's down, people can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done. No place seems to be safe.